This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And a very good Sunday morning to you. It is going to be a beautiful day again. Yesterday was great. But we're kind of keeping an eye on tomorrow's weather. And joining us is TMJ4 meteorologist Tyler Moore. And Tyler, we did hit some great temperatures yesterday, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, it really did feel like summer. A lot of areas, Milwaukee hit 80. Saw a lot of low to middle 80s. It was just spectacular with that sunshine. Almost felt a little too hot at times, but I feel like I can't say that because we wait all year for temperatures this warm.
No kidding. And today's going to be another great day, too. But the reason I want to talk to you this morning is we're kind of keeping an eye on tomorrow. Tell us what you're watching for.
Yeah, a pretty unsettled weather pattern for Monday into Tuesday. So it's not only tomorrow, but also Tuesday I'm really highlighting for the potential for severe weather. But let's start with tomorrow. Yeah, so there's a low pressure that's coming out of the Rockies right now. And we're in that prime time of year where there's still enough ingredients where that cold and warm air battles it out. And that's what we're going to see with this low pressure system is the dynamics are there for some strong to severe thunderstorms. We'd have a level 1 out of 5 risk for severe weather. The marginal risk, it's not overly high, but we could see some small hail, some gusty winds, and even a brief isolated tornado. Although the ingredients aren't that impressive for Monday, we're still going to see probably 2 rounds of storms, one potentially in the morning along a warm front, and then another round later in the day. On Tuesday, that's the higher risk for severe weather. We have a level 2 and 3 out of 5 risk for severe weather. We could be looking at a pretty big cluster of showers and thunderstorms developing off to our west Tuesday afternoon and then rolling through the southeastern Wisconsin, Milwaukee metro area late Tuesday into Tuesday night. That's kind of the time frame I'm really looking at for the potential for some stronger storms.
Now, I know, Tyler, that the other day you guys really had your eye out at a potential tornado, and luckily things turned out okay. Could it be another situation like that tomorrow into Tuesday?
Yeah, there's definitely the potential there. I mean, anytime you're talking about storms this time of year, there's always the potential for a brief tornado. The good news is it doesn't really look like we're looking at long track tornadoes. Anything would be on the weaker side. But yeah, with these storms, there's definitely the potential there for some weak tornadoes to develop. And really some gusty winds, I think, will be the biggest concern with these storms.
All right. So, Tyler, today it's going to be another nice day. What are your plans?
Oh, man. Well, I'm working this morning. I'm trying to get home. Go see my family. They were visiting in town, my sister and my nephew. So I'm going to spend some time with them outside before they head back up north to Eau Claire, which is where they live. Other than that, you know, I'm going to soak up some sunshine, take the dogs for a walk, and maybe treat myself with a little ice cream later. It feels like a good ice cream day on a Sunday. What about you?
What's your favorite?
I'm a big Oreo or cookie dough fan.
Oh, you like that mixing thing?
Yes, exactly. A little crunch in there, a little different flavor with the vanilla ice cream.
Ooh, sounds yummy. I'm hungry already. Tyler Moore from TMJ4, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, have a great Sunday.
You too. It's 8:10, and we've got a busy show ahead today. Rose Gray is going to be here. She's got some advice if you're planning some summer travel. She's going to tell you some of the most popular destinations. Also, have you heard them yet? The cicadas? They're out there, and they are out to get your car. We're going to tell you about that. Also, if you're one of those people, you like to get those digital downloads. You know, you pay for them, and you get the movie, or you get the music, or whatever. Well, do you really own them? Our consumer advocate, Michelle Reinen, is here with the answer to that. Teddy Nigel from the Milwaukee Business Journal says an unknown buyer is looking for property around Ozaukee County. Also, Matt Miller's here. He's going to break down all those new streaming bundles you hear about. Debbie Lazaga is going to take a look at graduation traditions. We'll look back at the week in review. Isaac's here pushing those buttons. Jack Grau is in the newsroom. And in just 2 minutes, it's Wyatt Barmore-Pooley and sports. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It is going to be a beautiful day. As we just heard from TMJ4 meteorologist Tyler Moore, those temperatures are going to get up to the mid-70s if you're near the lake, as high as 80 inland. Right now, 71 degrees at 8:12 on WTMJ.
Justin Verlander was rolling in Houston through the first 4 innings Saturday night at Minute Maid Park, but it was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde once the 5th inning rolled around for the Brew Crew, forcing the 41-year-old to throw 43 pitches in the inning, 13 of them to William Contreras. This one would be his last.
Out of the windup, here it comes. And a high fly ball left center field. This ball is going to be back there and gone! Contreras hits it out to one of the deepest parts of the park. What a battle! Contreras wins it. It's a three-run shot. 428 feet. You won't see a better at bat all year.
That's all Milwaukee would need for the 4-2 victory over the Astros to even up the series, with Brian Hudson and Trevor McGill stranding runners in scoring position in the 8th and 9th innings to lock down the W. We got day baseball for the rubber game today. We'll get you started with Brewers warm-up with Dom Catronio at noon right here on WTMJ. And Campbellsport High School senior athlete Josh Owunale will be allowed to participate at the regional track meet on Monday after a WIAA decision reversal. Owunale sharing his excitement about the decision with TMJ4 News.
I think the support from everybody, just the reposting on social media, the support everywhere, and then getting up to government, federal, I mean, it just blew up and everybody's helped.
He was originally deemed ineligible to compete in varsity events because his parents live in Ghana working as missionaries. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Wyatt. It is 8:15, 71 degrees. We're going to get up to about 80 if you're further inland, mid-70s or so. Close to the lake, it's going to be a beautiful day. Chances of some showers, maybe some storms tomorrow. Coming up, we've got Teddy Nykl. She is with the Milwaukee Business Journal, and there are some rumors about people in Ozaukee County, especially around Port Washington, who are being approached to have their property purchased. But nobody knows why. We'll talk a little bit about that with Teddy. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's going to be mostly sunny today. Those high temperatures, beautiful, 80 inland, 73, 74, 75 near the lake. Then tonight, those clouds are going to increase. It's going to get up to about, or down to, I should say, 55 degrees. Then tomorrow, that's where we're going to see some scattered storms and showers. It's going to be humid. It's going to be warm. Our temperatures are going to be about 84 inland. Then on Tuesday, more of those scattered storms and humidity. And that's where TMJ4 meteorologist Tyler Moore talked about there is a potential for some severe storms. So we're keeping our eye on that as our temperatures get up to the mid-70s, close to 80 further inland. Then on Wednesday, we'll start out with some rain. Then it's going to be cloudy and breezy throughout the day, 73. Thursday is a beautiful day, sunny and 72. As we're waking up around Wisconsin on this Sunday morning, we've got Mequon at 65 degrees. Racine has 61. Oconomowoc has 64. And it's 71 degrees at WTMJ at 819. It's time to check in on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline with Teddy Nykl from the Milwaukee Business Journal. And wow, that was quite a gala. On Thursday night, Adina Menzel was there. Is it Menzel or Mendel? I'm like John Travolta. I'm messing that up again. But anyway, she was singing Frozen. Everybody who was anybody was there. And it is all because of the beautiful convention center that we now have downtown.
Yes, so we've been hearing about this for years, and it's finally here. The Baird Center opened Thursday. They had a ribbon cutting in the morning, and then obviously the gala that you mentioned was in the evening, celebrating this $456 million expansion. So obviously there's been a lot of excitement, and now it's finally open. They say events are going to be happening pretty much immediately, I think, this past weekend.
Well, and Saturday they had the open house for the public. But now let's talk a little bit about what this means for the city. What kinds of events will we be seeing at the Baird Center?
I think the same kinds of events we've been seeing, you know, big major conventions and other events. But the key thing now with the expanded convention center is they're saying it has the capacity to host two major events at the same time without them interrupting each other. So they can basically have more major events here two concurrently. And there's enough space with the loading for trucks to come in for both events. And obviously within the convention center, meeting rooms and things like that, plenty of room for multiple events. So I think the hope is just that it's going to increase more tourism, more events, allow Milwaukee to compete with other cities that have these major convention centers, now Milwaukee kind of will be in the conversation.
Well, let's talk about what's going on in downtown Wauwatosa, or maybe it's not. And that's with two major apartment developments that have been proposed. Now, what does this mean for the village area?
Yeah, so Wauwatosa has been becoming more and more popular as a suburb in the Milwaukee area. And one of the things that people love about it is that Tosa Village area right by the river. There's lots of shops, restaurants. And this past month, we've had two major apartment developments right basically across the street. One is on the St. Bernard site. I think we may have talked about that previously. And then there's a public parking lot right behind Draft and Bessel and Anodyne Coffee. And that has been planned for a while to have a new apartment as well. So combined, there would be more than 300 units in these two apartment proposals. And residents have a lot of thoughts. People love this village area, and there's concerns about parking and things like that. It remains to be seen when and how many units will be built between these two proposals, but they're generating a lot of interest right now in the city.
Well, it is interesting. If you try to get through downtown Tosa at certain times of the day, there's already a backup in terms of traffic. I would think that several hundred more people in apartments, it's only going to cause more traffic backups.
Right. And of course, these developers do traffic studies as they're planning these things. And they say they're kind of keeping that in mind and they're planning for that. Like, for example, Mandel Group is the developer behind the Harlow and Hem, and it would be on the public parking lot behind Draft and Bessel. That public parking lot has around 100 spots right now, and they would replace those 100 spots within their development. So there wouldn't be less parking, they're saying. There would also be additional parking for residents. So these developers are planning for the traffic. And again, they say that they're replacing those spots and that there would be still ample parking for both the public and residents.
Well, this has been an ongoing story for the past week, Teddy, and that is the Ascension Hospital cyber attack. What are we hearing? Have they made any announcements, or is there any indication of what's behind it? And more importantly, when they're going to have a solution?
Yeah, so Ascension has said they're working with cybersecurity experts to help restore their systems. As people may have heard, you know, this is one of Wisconsin's largest health systems. With the cyber attack, the electronic health records aren't available. So MyChart, anything you do electronically for your records, that's all down. So they're relying on manual systems for patient documentation, which, as you can imagine, has slowed down care, kind of led to some frustration among patients. They've said functions still haven't returned to normal. They're working with cybersecurity experts. They are saying patients can still visit the clinic, go to the emergency room, use urgent care, imaging, even elective surgeries, but the pharmacies still are unavailable.
Well, I know I talked with one of the nurses there and shortly after this happened, and they said care has not been affected. It's just taking a lot longer to get things like test results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone in our office went to Ascension and, you know, they were able to get the care they needed. But yeah, they said it was a little bit frustrating just to kind of deal with the slowdown.
Yeah, well, you got to feel for the employees there. I know they're doing their best to make sure that they're giving patients the best of care. All right, let's talk about Mount Pleasant and about that land that's been bought by Microsoft. Do we know what's going to happen there?
So this is really interesting because it's less than a week after Microsoft announced their $3.3 billion data center. They already own more than 1,300 acres in Mount Pleasant. And then we see a deed come through that they bought another 32 acres. So, you know, it's a small amount of land compared to what they already own. But what's interesting is it's north of the land that they currently own, and it's surrounded by other land that they don't own. So it's basically now an island that they've purchased of land. And so that pretty much indicates they're likely going to look to buy up more land around that. You know, it's a bunch of small parcels in that area that are owned by different people, and they bought one of them. So it kind of indicates that they're likely looking to buy up that whole northern region, which was originally planned to have Foxconn as well. The village never bought that land. And so now Microsoft has started buying it, it appears. So we don't know what they plan to do with it. You know, right now we know they're planning data centers on pretty much all of that land that they have already purchased. So likely would be more of the same, but we'll definitely be watching to see.
Teddy, we've been hearing that there's land also being bought up in Ozaukee County around Port Washington. Do you know anything about that?
We've heard that as well. You know, there's this mystery factory reaching out to residents to purchase land. What we've heard is that it's still early and, you know, they're just at the stage where they're reaching out to individual landowners to kind of begin assembling. But we don't know who that company is yet.
Ooh, well, I know you're going to keep your eye on that one. Teddy Nykl from the Milwaukee Business Journal. It's always great to have you here.
Thanks so much, Libby.
It's 825, 71 degrees at WTMJ. Coming up in just a minute, we've got your everyday hero on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. on this Sunday morning, let's do something very positive. Let's go and hear from Eric Bilstead about an everyday hero.
Let's recognize an everyday hero. On Wisconsin's Morning News, we celebrate average John or Jane Doe's who had no idea when they got up one morning they would be saving a life. Today we head to Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, at Shaw Elementary. It was lunchtime, it was loud, and a third grade boy began choking on a piece of cheese.
He was sitting and his face was turning red.
That's 9-year-old Liam Doherty. He tells ABC 27 that a friend came up to him to say, "Hey, that boy over there is choking." He knew something was wrong.
They said, he's choking. So then I realized my friend was choking. And then I just got up and did it behind him. And I did this. And then he just did this as he spit the cheese back out.
The cheese came out. The young boy began to breathe again. Everyone okay. All because of this 9-year-old boy, Liam.
As third grade was coming out, I immediately heard that Liam had saved a student's life, sprung into action right in the moment before any adult even knew what was going on.
Rich Tarsick's the school principal. He says he's never seen this before.
I've been a principal for 11 years and in the field for 20. I've never seen anything quite like that.
Little 9-year-old Liam was honored with a medallion for saving his classmate's life. So how did he know about the Heimlich? How did he become the Heimlich hero? Well, he says he learned about it by watching television. Thank you, Liam, for being an everyday hero. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care. Eric Bilstead, WTMJ News.
I really like those looks at heroes. Great job, once again, Eric. All right, we're coming up to 8:30, and Jack Rouse in the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Jack, you've got a missing man this morning, and he's been gone for, what, a week? Welcome back to the second half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It's been quite a week. That NFL draft was handed off to Green Bay. The vice president was back in Milwaukee again. A war of insults in Washington, and there was so much more. It's the Weekend Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
Frustration and confusion continues this week at Ascension Hospitals in Wisconsin after last week's cyber attack.
If the doctors cannot access medical records, that will cause the delays in obtaining cause of death for cremation.
The ceremonial NFL draft football coming via the Lake Express Ferry.
Folks, we're the home of Titletown. We sure the hell aren't going to fumble it on our own turf.
We're setting the bar for you. Don't fumble this.
Thanks, Big Rich.
Wow, that's kind of cringe.
Go back, go.
I can assure you I'm not going to work for a think tank in D.C.
That was Gallagher on Wisconsin's Afternoon News in March. Now the former 8th District representative has accepted a position as Senior Strategic Advisor for Titletown Tech in Green Bay.
The former Kenosha teacher accused of grooming a middle school student posted bail.
Nearly every seat was full in intake court here in Kenosha County this afternoon.
You messaged us a few weeks ago saying that you wanted to tell us the real story. What do you think the real story is here? No comment?
Nothing?
No comment.
Large.
Thought about pulling up from three. We'll dip inside and lay it in. There are the first points in the WNBA career of Caitlin Clark.
The 46th president of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden.
Mr. President, how are you?
I'm well. Is this Sherwin?
This is Sherwin. Very nice to be talking to you.
If you don't vote, you don't have any say on who's going to be your next president.
Are you kidding me?
Josh Owanali is a very gifted track and field athlete, but there's a hiccup here. Josh spent 2 years in Ghana. The WIAA has ruled him ineligible for state competition.
After years of planning and building, the north end of the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee is officially
open.
It's amazing to walk in and see it completed. It's just, it's overwhelming.
As part of her economic opportunity tour, making a stop in downtown Milwaukee, Vice President Harris earmarking around $300,000 in housing counseling funding for Wisconsin families.
I decided to embark on this economic opportunity tour and share with folks what resources are available.
I think no matter which person Donald Trump selects, Vice President Harris is going to mop the floor with him.
Houston Mayor John Whitmer saying the city is in full recovery mode after high winds, torrential rains, even twisters blew through, leaving 900,000 without power.
A storm with 100 miles per hour winds.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy. Pat, thought about you first thing this morning when we heard all the news about the storms hitting Houston.
It was pretty bad, alarming actually. I won't say that it was the most comfortable flight, but thankfully they did a great job and got us here safely.
A tornado warning is in effect for Milwaukee County until 5:45.
I'm not sure if the old guide of April through September holds anymore. The peak is May and June. We are smack dab into it.
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on.
How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person? Are your feelings hurt?
Move her words down.
Aww.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play.
If someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's peach blonde, bad built bush body, that would not be engaging with personalities, correct?
A what now?
We seem to be made to suffer. It's our lot in life.
About a half hour ago, world number one golfer Scottie Scheffler has been detained by police in handcuffs after a misunderstanding with traffic flow.
The craziest part about this, he is about the most boring person and like the nicest dude. Like, he is the nicest guy.
He's going to jail. And it ain't nothing you can do about.
Right to jail, right away.
Whoa. A week.
Golly gee willikers.
Thanks, big rat.
It's a bird.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
What an idiot. Okay, 8:39, and that is the Week in Review. It's brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited. I'm Libby Collins. We're up to 71 degrees. Going to get maybe to 80 if you're further inland, probably mid-70s if you're close to the lake. A beautiful Sunday in Wisconsin. Do you ever download movies and, maybe some TV shows, maybe some music? Maybe even a book. The question is, do you own those digital downloads? Well, in just a couple minutes, we're going to be joined by Michelle Reinen from DatCap. She's going to tell you if you're the owner. But first, let's take a look at your weather. It's going to be sunny today. We're going to get up to 80 degrees. Tonight, clouds down to about 55. Then on Monday, this is going to be interesting. And we talked with TMJ4 meteorologist about this. And they're looking at some severe storms because of the humidity and all of that. Looks like maybe going into Tuesday, we've got a severe risk of storms. So you want to keep that in mind. Temperatures over the next couple of days, really very, very summer-like. Then on Wednesday, a shower early in the day, partly cloudy, breezy with a high of 73. Thursday looks like it's mostly sunny, and we're going to get up to 72 degrees. Those temperatures, as you're waking up around Wisconsin on this Sunday morning, actually very mild. Cedarburg is at 65. Oak Creek has 65. Brookfield's up to 67. And we've got 73 degrees at WTMJ at 843. Well, have you ever bought a video game, an ebook, a song, or a movie, and you plan to put it on your iPad or your iPhone? Do you really own it? Well, joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is our consumer expert from DatCap, Michelle Reinen. And Michelle, when you buy a digital product, is it really yours?
That is such a great question, and it's something that is an outstanding question whenever you're dealing in the digital world. I mean, when you buy that digital product, you may actually be purchasing a license to access it and not the product itself. So in some cases, the seller may have licensing issues with the content you bought, may own license to use it worthless when that happens. And many digital items also come with digital rights management software, which prevents users from using the product in a way that wasn't approved by the seller or creator. So you end up with limitations on what you, quote, own.
So what do you do as far as trying to make sure that this is something you're always going to have access to?
Yeah, you may consider buying a digital item, but be sure before you do that, refer to the terms of service. That has to be the first step that you take. Details about what control you'll have over your digital products are usually explained in that fine print. And purchasing a license instead of a product itself is not inherently bad or undesirable, but it is important for you to know that you're spending your money on and how that purchase could affect you in the future. I mean, it could disappear if you don't keep your account active, and you really want to understand how your money is working for you, or, you know, what you'll have after you may end an account service.
All right. So if you have any questions about this or any questions at all about your consumer rights, let's give that protection hotline.
You can call 1-800-422-7128.
It's 8:45, 1 minute away from Sports with Wyatt on WTMJ.
When William Contreras stepped to the plate in the fifth inning, the Brewers had already rallied to tie the game at one and forced 41-year-old Justin Verlander to throw 30 pitches in the inning so far. The Brewers catcher then fouled off seven straight pitches in a 13-pitch at-bat. The last one, he hit fair.
Out of the windup, here it comes. And a high fly ball left center field. This ball is going to be back there and gone! Contreras hits it out to one of the deepest parts of the park. What a battle! Contreras wins it. It's a three-run shot.
428 feet to the deepest part of the yard at Minute Maid Park, giving the Brewers a 4-1 lead. After Brian Hudson stranded two runners in the eighth, it was up to Trevor McGill to lock down the win, with the Brewers now leading 4-2.
The 1-2 pitch. And he got him looking. A fastball at 100 right down the middle. And the Brewers have evened up this series in Houston.
Day baseball for the rubber game today. We'll get you started with Brewers warm-up with Dom Catronio at noon right here on WTMJ. And Campbellsport High School senior athlete Josh Owanali will be allowed to participate at the WIAA regional track meet on Monday after the WIAA reversed its decision that initially ruled him ineligible. This was due to his parents living in Ghana as missionaries. His mom has returned. His dad is dealing with visa issues. It took support from Wisconsin legislators, but Josh will run. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Wyatt. Boy, you love baseball, don't you? Let's see, 8:47 coming up in just a couple minutes. If you are confused about this whole streaming thing, I know I am, with, you know, this bundle and that bundle, and if I've already got one of them, do I get the other one now? Matt Miller's going to break it all down for us. It's ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
It's time to check in on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline with Matt Miller. He, of course, is the pop culture editor and media critic at onmilwaukee.com. And there is a fun family movie that opened this weekend, Matt.
Yeah, a movies for families. What a concept. It's been over 2 months since the last big movie for families came out.
Really?
And then you wonder why the last family movie that came out with any like money behind it, other than, you know, like indie movies and stuff like that, was Kung Fu Panda 4, and that was back in March, early March. So, and then Hollywood wonders why the younger generations don't go to movies as much. Well, maybe they don't have that kind of trained into their systems the way we did when we were growing up. You know, it feels like there were a lot of kids' movies for people to see. But now there's IF, which is a big star-studded extravaganza. Ryan Reynolds, Emily Blunt, all sorts of famous people in this movie about imaginary friends. It looks charming. It's directed by John Krasinski, a.k.a. Jim from The Office. After making the Quiet Place movies, he's making the complete opposite of a scary movie this time. And I've heard okay things. The reviews from this from critics haven't been great, but if I'm being entirely honest, this isn't the kind of movie that I think wins over critics. I think sometimes this kind of schmaltzy kids movie stuff can kind of taste a little bittersweet to critics. I expect this will do pretty well this weekend, because I think family, you know, it's a family movie, looks cute, fun premise, big stars. But also, again, there hasn't been any movies to take kids to. Parents have been stuck taking their kids to see Kung Fu Panda 4 for the 15th time. there's finally something new for them to see, and I think they'll take advantage this weekend.
Well, this one's about imaginary friends. Did you have an imaginary friend growing up, Matt?
I did not. I had a stuffed animal named Snuffy, an adorable dog, and that was my friend.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad Snuffy... Is Snuffy still around?
Snuffy is no longer with us.
So sad. Okay, here's something that's really confusing me. And this is these streaming bundles. Now, I have HBO, but am I correct to assume that this is now going to be bundled with other things?
Yeah, so we had this all streaming thing to get away from cable, and streaming is now turning into cable, essentially. So there's going to be two kind of streaming bundles that look like they are coming together. You've got the Hulu, Disney Plus, and Max bundle, which Max is HBO. So that is going to
be... You can see how far behind I am, right?
Don't worry. We're all so confused. It's all very good. And again, HBO, very popular brand, you know, great name recognition, great legacy. Let's ditch that branding and call it Max, which could mean anything. So you've got that streaming bundle, and then you've got another streaming bundle that was announced that is Netflix, Apple TV Plus, and Peacock. And then Paramount Plus just apparently won't exist. Paramount Plus has no friends.
All right,
apparently.
So what if I have Max, as I do right now? What do I need to do if I want to get the bundle? Do I have to cancel my Max account and then redo it? Or are they going to contact me? Or how is that all going to work?
So those details haven't been established yet. These are all kind of the announced bundles that they're planning to put together. I'm sure what they'll probably do is they'll probably be like, hey, you're a Max subscriber. For an extra $2 a month or so, you can join into the bundle or something like that. Or, you know, maybe it'll start at a lower price, but then they'll slowly yet surely raise it by $2 few months like they have been doing. And so, again, what we've ended up doing with streaming is just turning it into cable again, but in a way that is so much more confusing and that doesn't pay actors and creators well and will end up costing the same amount of money in the end. It's all very confusing. And they're bringing back ads because they need to make more money on these streaming services. It's all great.
Which really seems like a cheat, because the whole idea of having these streaming services and cable was, well, you don't have to have ads. And yes, you're going to pay for it, but you're going to pay for it and all you're going to get is content. So now you're still paying for the content, but now you're going to have ads too.
Yeah. And part of this too is, you know, back in the day, Hollywood had multiple ways of making money off of a movie or off of a TV show, you know. They'd release a movie in theaters, and then they'd release it on DVD, and then they'd release it into airplanes and onto cable and onto HBO and Showtime. All of those were different ways of them making money. And with streaming, they kind of killed a bunch of those ways of making money. So now they're having to make more money back on these movies in theaters and on streaming. And meanwhile, they don't understand why we actually like streaming. They're pouring millions of dollars into new content for these streaming services, when really what we want streaming services for is to be able to watch old stuff that we like, older movies that we missed, or old TV shows that we want to rewatch. That's why we want streaming services. We don't have time to watch the 45 new shows Netflix puts up every week.
Maybe I'll just go back to reading a book at night. Okay, now, let's talk about our favorite show, and that, of course, is Top Chef in Wisconsin. And they finally got rid of two chefs this week.
Yeah, I was a little nervous that Dan was going to be a double casualty during the baseball competition episode. But no, he had a very good week. The local interest, Dan Jacobs, is still around. Yeah, they got rid of Laura, who was kind of the closest thing the season's had to a villain so far. The season has not had much in the villain department to report back on. And Laura was kind of the closest thing we had, because she blew up the budget on that one episode, on the Supper Club episode, and she didn't clean up the cheese when she slipped and took out Dan in the process. So we lost Laura, and we lost Amanda, which is very sad. Team Dan Manda, which was one of the more charming personalities of the season. We've lost both of them, and now we're down to six, I believe, which is, we're running out of episodes. We're running out of chefs.
Except they're going to bring somebody back from Last Chance Kitchen eventually, too.
Yeah, I believe that normally happens around the finale. That normally happens when they're down to the final three, and then they bring in a Last Chance Kitchen person for the final four, and then we get into the finale.
So we still have many more weeks of Top Chef. And by the way, if you want to see Top Chef with a group of people, which is always fun, you've got a special viewing party.
Yes, every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock at Zocalo, we watch the new episode. We cheer when Dan does well. I boo when someone makes an agua chile for the 47th time this season. It's a lot of fun.
It certainly is. All right, Matt Miller, it is always great to have you here.
No, thanks for having me.
It's 8:57, 71 degrees at WTMJ. Going to be a beautiful day near the lake. Low to mid-70s as you go further inland. We're going to get up to 80 again. Beautiful summer weather. And speaking of summer, have you heard the cicadas yet? I've heard them. I've heard, at least I'm hearing something. But I think it's them. Anyway, you know, they say they don't do any harm, at least to humans. But watch out. They can do harm to your car. And we're going to tell you what we're talking about with that. Also, Rose Gray is going to be joining us. If you're planning those summer vacations, she's got the hot spots all around the world. We'll tell you about it. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And welcome back to Hour 2. A little bit later on this hour, the cicadas are out to get you. We'll tell you about that. Also, Rose Gray's going to join us and talk about some summer destinations that are going to be hotter than ever. And I don't mean temperature-wise. We've got Jack Grau here. And Jack, it's sort of a bittersweet day, I think, today at MATC. A lot of graduates, of course, are going to be getting their diplomas, but they're also going to be honoring a few young women who, unfortunately, aren't with us to get their honors.
Now, that is true. That is true. MATC will be handing out at least two posthumous degrees today. One for Shonda Robinson, who was murdered and dismembered after a first date. And another for Amari Smith, who was studying cosmetology. Some more information from our partners at TMJ4 News.
MATC says that Shonda will receive an honorary degree in criminal justice studies during Sunday's commencement ceremony. Amari Smith will also be awarded a degree. Now, he was killed back in February when a driver sped off from an attempted traffic stop. Family tell us Amari was studying cosmetology and had hoped to start his own barbershop.
Like we said, at least two posthumous degrees expected to be handed out at MATC today.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really, really sad. And related to that, to the Sade Robinson, I want to bring this up. In Waukegan the other day, a dismembered arm washed up in the shore. And there is some controversy about an alderman, Keith Turner, who I know, by the way, in Waukegan, who I apparently posted a photo on his Facebook page.
Yeah, we've seen some reports that a photo was posted related to the severed arm. Now, we have not confirmed that that severed arm, you know, is exactly related to the Sade Robinson case, but her family has been notified of the arm. But yes, that's what we're hearing, that a social media was post that received some backlash pertaining to that arm that was found in Waukegan.
Well, and I'm going to full disclosure here. I actually, Keith Turner, because I worked in Waukegan for a number of years, is a friend of mine on Facebook.
Really?
And I did not, I mean, he posts frequently because he is very involved in that community. He's a longtime alderman. He will, you know, I mean, if a dog is lost in the community, he will post it. If there's somebody out there who's lost all their possessions in a fire, he will try to get, you know, help for them. And I did not see that post.
I just
wasn't looking at Facebook, I guess, when that came up. But yeah, I've got a call out to him this morning. We'll see if we hear from him.
We'll see.
But you kind of wonder why he did it.
Yeah, you would wonder.
Yeah, so well, if I hear, trust me, I will pass that along to you. All right, thank you so much, Jack. I know you're going to keep us posted with everything else going on this morning at 9:10. You know, related to graduation, it is a rite of passage. It is a moment to celebrate accomplishments and hard work. And it is a celebration of inspiration. WTMJ's Debbie Lazaga takes a closer look at graduation. Okay, here we go. Wow, look at how many graduates there are. We're gonna be here for a while. Hey, ever wonder where all the iconic things come from? They get together, line up in alphabetical order, dress in weird gowns and hats just to pick up a certificate that says you just went through one of the most intense expansion of your mental capacity you'll ever have, or at least the nifty leatherette holder for said certificate. But where does it all come from?
We trace a lot of the history, and especially the pomp and the circumstance and the academic regalia, really back to Europe. And so we've been doing things in the United States based on how things started many centuries ago, the late Middle Ages and the time of the Renaissance.
That's Vice President for Enrollment and Chief Strategy Officer at Concordia University of Wisconsin, Dr. Michael Uden. And he filled me in on all the storied, and I mean storied, traditions associated with commencement ceremonies, like the gowns.
There were practical reasons. Because we didn't have central heating, the garb actually helped keep faculty and students warm as well.
And if you're lucky enough to see a commencement for people picking up a master's or PhD, the amount of fabric in the gown actually means something.
Historically, the more fabric you had in your gown, the wealthier, or in this case, the more educated you were. And so the bachelor's degree candidates have pointed closed sleeves, the master degree, a little more fabric, they have oblong sleeves. And then the doctoral candidates have bell-shaped sleeves, lots of fabric, with three stripes of velvet and velvet panels on the front of their gown, again, corresponding with their academic discipline or area of study.
Okay, so check that off the list. Something else for your graduation bingo card? The mortarboard.
It's reminiscent, quite literally, of the board used by masons to apply mortar, symbolizing then the skill of a master workman within the academic discipline. And in the 14th century, European universities used tassels to differentiate different levels of academic achievement. But what's kind of an American piece of this is the movement of the tassel from the right to the left after the conferral of a degree.
And now they're a customary decoration for your rearview mirror in your car. Check. How about the mace? Yeah, an actual mace.
That's often borne by the chief faculty marshal, and it really represents the academic integrity and intensity that ceremony is supposed to signify.
Oh yeah, that's one of Dr. Uden's other jobs, the faculty marshal. Wow, there is a ton of symbolism at your average graduation ceremony. There's tons more that I just don't have the time to go over, like this song. Yeah, Pomp and Circumstance, written by Sir Edgar Elgar in 1901. Diplomas, guest speakers, sashes, and cords all come together to create quite the bingo game for your commencement enjoyment. Oh, and don't forget the ever-popular throwing of the caps. You know, where we all celebrate how smart we are by throwing up sharp, pointy objects into the air.
Hooray!
All the regalia, customs, and time-honored traditions, it's all just a part of simply this. We wish all graduates a hearty congratulations for your accomplishments. Now get out there and make a difference. Debbie Lozaga, WTMJ News.
Thanks a lot, Deb. Actually, I think the reason you see a lot of graduates, high school, college, whatever, throw up their caps, it goes back to the military academies, because they were the first ones to throw their caps in the air, and they were just, well, they wear officers' hats. All right, it is 9:14. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we've got Wyatt Bormor-Pooley, and he has sports right here on WTMJ.
Justin Verlander was rolling in Houston through the first four innings Saturday night at Minute Maid Park, but it was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde once the fifth inning rolled around for the Brew Crew, forcing the 41-year-old to throw 43 pitches in the inning, 13 of them to William Contreras. This one would be his last.
Out of the windup, here it comes. And a high fly ball left center field. This ball is going to be back there and gone! Contreras hits it out to one of the deepest parts of the park. What a battle! Contreras wins it. It's a three-run shot. 428 feet. You won't see it better at bat all year.
That's all Milwaukee would need for the 4-2 victory over the Astros to even up the series, with Brian Hudson and Trevor McGill stranding runners in scoring position in the 8th and 9th innings to lock down the W. We got day baseball for the rubber game today. We'll get you started with Brewers warm-up with Dom Catronio at noon right here on WTMJ. And Campbellsport High School senior athlete Josh Owunale will be allowed to participate at the regional track meet on Monday after a WIAA decision reversal. Owunale sharing his excitement about the decision with TMJ4 News.
I think the support from everybody, just the reposting on social media, the support everywhere, and then getting up to government, federal, I mean, it just blew up and everybody's helped.
He was originally deemed ineligible to compete in varsity events because his parents live in Ghana working as missionaries. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Wyatt. It's 9:18 on WTMJ. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Rose Gray is going to join us. She's going to tell you all the places people are traveling this summer and give you a little bit of advice of what you need to do if you're planning a summer vacation. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It is a beautiful day today. We're going to have sunshine. Those temperatures are going to be about 73 near the lake, 80 inland. Then tonight, increasing clouds down to 55. Tomorrow, looks like we've got some scattered showers and storms. It's going to be humid and warm. Our high temperature, 80 degrees, 85 inland. Then on Tuesday, that's where we're watching just a chance that there could be some storms that could be a little high risk. And we talked with TMJ4 meteorologist Tyler Moore earlier this morning about it. He said he's got his eye on it. Those high temperatures are going to be around 75 near the lake, 80 inland. Then on Wednesday, it looks like we've got a shower early in the day, partly cloudy and breezy with a high of 73. And Thursday, mostly sunny and a high of 72. Well, it's a great day if you're planning on maybe taking the boat out. And those temperatures right now in Elkhart Lake, you got 66 degrees. In Muskego, it's 69. Lake Geneva, it's 69. 60, no, make it 71 degrees at WTMJ at 922. With Memorial Day just around the corner, people are thinking, where am I going to go for a summer vacation? Well, there's only one person to ask. And of course, it's Rose Gray from Fox World Travel. And she hosts the show here on Saturdays. And Rose, I want to ask you, what are the destinations people are talking about for summer travel this year?
Well, a couple of our sources, like TripAdvisor, which you think, Rose, you actually use TripAdvisor? I do. I take everything with a grain of salt and I make sure I understand where the comments are coming from. But they also do some pretty remarkable research and we use that. I also looked at MasterCard.com. They have a very robust travel department that gives us some heads up on that. And what they're saying is, they've got a list of places that they're thinking people are going to go globally, and then they've got a list that they think people are going to travel to domestically. Believe it or not, the number one global destination throughout the United States is Cancun. Cancun.
Really?
It's just
not Europe.
I think it's easy, it's affordable, and if your kids are out of school, that doesn't stop you from going to a wonderful family-friendly all-inclusive resort in Cancun or the Riviera Maya, and they're stretching their boundaries. Remember, it used to just be Cancun, and now you can go south to the Playa del Carmen area and continue on that way all the way down to Akumal, but they're also going north and they're developing that area. So you can also go across to Isla Mujeres and you can do some other things. They've made some outstanding golf courses now to attract that kind of person. So it's not just a winter getaway anymore. London, number two on this list with both of the companies. Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic for the very same reasons as Cancun. Paris, always, you know, there's no bad time to go to Paris. And because of the Olympics and all of that kind of thing, people are avoiding sometimes, but they want to see some of that pre-Olympic or post-Olympic hype. And so some people are, there's no bad time to go to Paris, in my opinion. Cabo San Lucas, Rome, Aruba, Barcelona, Spain. So those are some of the places that these people who do the research are saying are going to be in the top 10.
Now, for international travel, how much ahead of time should you be booking those flights?
I would say if you're doing something in Rome or Paris or Barcelona or any of the European destinations, I would probably be doing that now. And I would be, you know, hoping I could still get something for July and August. Again, using a travel advisor is probably a very, very good idea because they can give you suggestions like you may want to avoid August because literally Europe shuts down during August. Now, that hasn't stopped some U.S. travelers, but that's when the Europeans take their holiday. So it's not uncommon for somebody that owns a shop or a restaurant to close for 2 or 3 weeks and go on their family holiday. And so you may find some things are closed at that time. So, you know, those are the suggestions that we would give you. Now, domestically, we're looking at Vegas, Myrtle Beach, Orlando, Honolulu, New York, Chicago, Key West, San Diego, Boston, all of the places that you would think are going to be hot spots are going to be hot spots.
Are you still getting a lot of inquiries about Disney World? Because their prices have gone up so much.
We're finding out that some people are saying, you know what? We thought about Disney World, but what if we went to Universal instead? Or what if we did Tampa and just did a day or two at Disney and traveled back and forth? Or how can we make this more affordable? Because we looked at doing the wow factor where we stay on the property and just get a 4-day pass and stay there for 5 days. We've got 3 kids. We priced it out. It's crazy expensive. What are some other options? Don't forget, there are all kinds of other parks and amusement parks throughout. What about Legoland? What about taking them to some other
SeaWorld?
Many other options. It's doable, and we understand. Once your kids get to a certain level, grade 6, grade 7, it's not really easy to take them out of school anymore. And so we're seeing more and more people say, I know this isn't the perfect time. I know it's summer. I know the crowds are going to be high, but this is when we can travel.
Now, I know it's not this summer, but you have on Fox World Travel Show have just announced some fabulous exotic trips. I'm thinking Galapagos.
Yes.
I'm thinking Africa. And they're not in the summer. They're
fall.
About a year off.
Yep.
Yeah, about a year off. What do you need to do if you want to find out more about these fabulous bucket list trips?
Start the conversation. Just look at our website, foxworldtravel.com. Pick up the phone and call 866-GO-FOX-GO. Just because you make an inquiry, you're not giving us a commitment. You just want more information. Why did you pick this trip? Why did you pick this itinerary? Who's going to be taking this itinerary? What do I know about the tour operator that you're using? What are the vaccination requirements? Are there any? How much validity do I have to have on my passport? Do I need a visa? Those are questions that we can readily answer for you, and that can help you make the decision. You look at the new catalog of all of the trips that we've got out there, and it's hard to choose. It's very hard to choose.
All right, one last question. Where are you going this summer?
Well, this summer, I'm taking a private group to Alaska to celebrate a milestone birthday, which we will not give that number, but I think some people can figure it out.
You're going to be 30, huh?
Yeah, thanks. And I have the pleasure of just being able to take my husband and 48 of our closest friends and family on what is to me my trip of a lifetime. But once that trip is over, I'm hitting the ground running. I'm going to Germany with Scafidi. I'm doing a battlefield trip again with John Bromage, and then I'm off and running. So,
okay. And if you want to learn more, you can go to where again?
Foxworldtravel.com.
Rose Gray, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And yesterday on the Fox World Travel Show, Rose announced her trip to Africa. Oh, boy. A lot of people were excited about that. It's 928 on WTMJ. And welcome back to the final half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. 72 degrees. We're going to get up to 80 inland, a little bit cooler near the lake. Now, and it's 72 right now at WTMJ. Well, I don't know if you've heard them yet, but they're out there. It's those cicadas, and they're back after what? 17 years? And no, they're supposed to be harmless to humans, but guess what? They could do a lot of damage to other things that you own. Joining us is Nathan Kruger. He is with Zeebart right here in Milwaukee. And Nathan, have you heard any of them yet?
No, I haven't heard of them yet, but they're coming.
Yeah, this is what, the biggest brood in like 100 years or something?
It's supposed to be. I'm really curious to see how bad they get this year. I mean, you know, lately we've had the box alders and everything, the stink bugs, but here we go with cicadas.
They keep telling us, don't worry about them. You might hear hear them. You might see big clusters of them, but they're not a danger. But you have found that they can do damage. Tell us a little bit about that and why it happens.
Driving around throughout the day, they're going to hit the front end of the vehicle, and they're a very acidic bug. When they splatter on the paint of your vehicle, it's like a little spot of acid on there that can etch your clear coat. So it can leave a visible mark. So the key in that is, one, wash your car off and get to the front end. Make sure you get those bug splatters off as fast as possible before they have a time to sit on there, bake in the sun, and etch your clear coat. And other than that, you want some type of protective coating over that clear coat. But still, regular washing, get them off of there right away. And as many as they say there's going to be, it's going to be the year to really protect your front end, protect the paint on the vehicle, and make sure you don't get those clear coat stains.
You're going to hit bugs regardless. I mean, that's just part of life when you're out driving. But do you think that the cicadas are more damaging than other kinds of insects that might hit your car?
From what I've read on them, yeah, it's just their acid content is high. They're a larger bug, and the volume of them, there's supposed to be so many that it's just going to be excessive versus your standard bug impacts. Even normal bugs can cause clear coat stains, and you want to get those off. But it's especially important this year with the emergence of cicadas and the volume that there's going to be, just to make sure that you're being diligent with it.
What happens, say, if you go for a vacation and you don't have time to get your car cleaned while you're out for that week or two, and the bugs hit the car, will that automatically stain? I mean, how long can you leave bug guts on your car before they're going to do any real damage?
That's a really good question. I think it depends on what's on top of your paint. If you haven't had your vehicle protected, if you have nothing on your paint, if it's just raw clear coat, I think you can get etching probably within 4 to 5 days, weather conditions determining. You know what I mean? If it's sunny out and they're dry on there and it just sits on your clear coat, it's going to create a little stain. The best bet is to get your paint protected ahead of time so that it's not sitting right on top of your clear coat. That's the ideal. That way that acid isn't getting down to the clear.
Does it affect the chrome the same way as it does paint finish?
Chrome is a little bit more durable. You know, it's just a little bit different of a finish where the acid doesn't affect it as much. So where we always see it is just basically on top of the painted surfaces of the vehicle.
What's the worst situation you've ever seen with a car from bugs hitting it?
Just like we talked about, etching in the clear, a bunch of little marks on there, you know, uneven marks where you can just tell it was acid from bugs that has etched the clear coat, and it stayed on there too long to where it etched too deep where you can't even polish it out.
Wow. I had no idea it could do that kind of damage.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Nathan, thank you so much. I'm going to have a little different view when I see those cicadas. I don't know if I can drive around them.
I wouldn't recommend it. Don't dodge and weave the cicadas. Let them hit. Clean them off early.
Nathan Kruger's from Seabart. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks, Libby.
See, there's a reason that you get your car washed frequently, especially if you've been driving out in those fields. That's, ooh. Yuck. All right, 941 coming up. We've got a great conversation today. Very interesting. If you've ever wondered what it's like to sit on the jury of a high-profile trial, and we talk with Ken Humphrey. We've got a couple of previews of what we're going to discuss. It's coming up right after this on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. 9:43 on WTMJ. Well, jury foreman for the second Mark Jensen trial, Ken Humphrey, told me how he felt walking into the courtroom with the verdict in his hand. Now you go back into the courtroom, and as you're walking in, you must have really felt all eyes upon you.
It was, because during the course of the trial, the gallery had thinned out. There's interest on the opening arguments, a lot of reporters, a lot of photographers, and then over the course of the 4 weeks, they fade out. But on the last 2 days, when we walked back into that courtroom, it was wall to wall. When you walk in, you're walking past the judge's bench. So you're seeing the entire gallery, you're seeing both the legal tables in front of you. So you're essentially facing everybody as you walk in over to your jury box. And I remember glancing because I didn't want to make eye contact with anybody. I didn't want anybody to catch me looking at them. But I remember just like, there are people everywhere in here. And I was carrying the verdict paper. I'm like, I feel like I don't want anybody to know I'm the foreman yet. And if they recognize I'm carrying the paper, then they're all going to be staring at me.
Just think about it. Walking in with the fate of a person in your hands. Author Ken Humphrey also talked about why he wrote a novel inspired by his experiences and some of his hesitation in writing that book. At any point when you were writing The Breakfast Jury, did you start to think, could this come back at a later date where somebody's going to try once again to overturn the verdict because of what I've written in this book?
That actually was very much a concern of mine. Before I even started, I actually consulted with a couple different lawyers that specialize in the literary realm. And I said, here's what I want to do. What should I avoid? So one of the things I did was I fictionalized all the names for everybody in there. And I took care to really walk wide of any defamation labels, because that's really where you run into danger territory. That's why I really stuck to the courtroom facts of what went on, because that right there is public record. Tried to keep myself safe within that to say, okay, I'm just repeating or I'm just rewriting what actually happened. I'm not giving an opinion. I'm not making statements on anybody that participated in it that portrays them in a defamatory light.
Author Ken Humphrey of Kenosha talks with me about his experience deciding the fate of an accused murderer. That's today at 11 on WTMJ Conversations. 9:46 coming up in 1 minute. It's Sports with Wyatt on WTMJ.
When William Contreras stepped to the plate in the fifth inning, the Brewers had already rallied to tie the game at one and forced 41-year-old Justin Verlander to throw 30 pitches in the inning so far. The Brewers catcher then fouled off seven straight pitches in a 13-pitch at-bat. The last one, he hit fair.
Out of the windup, here it comes. And a high fly ball left center field. This ball is going to be back there and gone! Contreras hits it out to one of the deepest parts of the park. What a battle! Contreras wins it. It's a three-run shot.
428 feet to the deepest part of the yard at Minute Maid Park, giving the Brewers a 4-1 lead. After Brian Hudson stranded two runners in the eighth, it was up to Trevor McGill to lock down the win, with the Brewers now leading 4-2.
The 1-2 pitch. And he got him looking. A fastball at 100 right down the middle. And the Brewers have evened up this series in Houston.
Day baseball for the rubber game today. We'll get you started with Brewers warm-up with Dom Catronio at noon right here on WTMJ. And Campbellsport High School senior athlete Josh Owanali will be allowed to participate at the WIAA regional track meet on Monday after the WIAA reversed its decision that initially ruled him ineligible. This was due to his parents living in Ghana as missionaries. His mom has returned. His dad is dealing with visa issues. It took support from Wisconsin legislators, but Josh will run. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Wyatt. It's 9:48 on WTMJ.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
It's going to be mostly sunny today with a high of 73. If you're inland, it's going to be 80 degrees. Then those clouds are going to increase overnight down to about 55. Looks like tomorrow we've got a chance of some scattered showers, maybe some storms. It's going to be humid, warm, 80 near the lake, 84 inland. Then on Tuesday, that's the weather that TMJ4 meteorologist Tyler Moore has his eye on, because he says if there's a chance of severe weather, it would probably be Tuesday with more storms expected. A high of 75, 80 further in. And then Wednesday, showers are going to be early. Then partly cloudy for the rest of the day. Breezy with 73 for a high. And Thursday's absolutely sensational. Mostly sunny and a high of 72 degrees. In Port Washington right now, 65 degrees. Richfield has 79. Franklin's at 70. And we're up to 73 degrees at WTMJ at 9:52.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
I'm John Mercure. This is the Sunday Sip, and I'm excited to be joined by John Everett, Communications Director, Elkhart Lakes Road America. John, thank you so much for making some time for us.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me, and it's going to be some good weather coming up, so we're really excited about everything.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I want to start by having you give us some background about Road America. It really is legendary. Tell us about Road America.
Well, absolutely. Road America started in 1955. Legendary is kind of synonymous with this because it's a 4-mile, 14-turn road course up near Elkhart Lake, and we've been hosting over 500 events for several years. Some of the biggest events you could even imagine, such as IndyCar, Moto America Series, several vintage racing events, and we can't leave out the Sports Car Club of America and the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Plus, also this year, we have GridLife coming, so we encourage everybody to go to roadamerica.com and check it out. It's the longest race course in North America and also the most fun because that's why we call it America's National Park of Speed.
It is. It's a great place, and I always encourage people to make a weekend out of it, and there are options to stay on site if you want to do that, right?
Yeah, from camping options to cabins to bring your tent on the back of a motorcycle, we've got it all for you. So you can bring your RV and park it right up against the fence, watch race cars and motorcycles go by. There's nothing better than having an incredible view from your motorhome, your tent camping area, or one of our cabins on site. So again, we encourage everybody to go to roadamerica.com, click on plan your visit, and you can learn about how to stay and play right here.
John, that is so easy. And one of the things I love, if you're going to make a weekend out of it, it's about the cars, and I love the speed, and I love that energy. But there are other things to do, geocaching and disc golf. Run through some of the other things to do if you're going to spend time up there.
Yeah, without question. We do everything from weddings to corporate events. So if you're looking for something different to do with your business, with your family, with others, even family reunions, definitely check out roadamerica.com because we have disc golf available for most events. Our off-road adventure tours are a great date excursion if you're looking for something to do. Sunset cruising as well is a great way to get your car on track and actually see the race course from a driver's perspective. Plus, there's public karting, and we can do team building programs for almost any size of organization. So if you're kind of like trying to get away from the usual golf outing or the usual ballroom lecture type situation, give Road America a try and check it out at roadamerica.com.
Do you guys still do the motorcycle and driving schools?
Yeah, without question. We graduate the largest amount of motorcycle people getting their M certification on their license every year. And motorcycle schools are run throughout the summer. So again, we encourage everybody to go to roadamerica.com because our schools are super simple. You take an online classroom course, and then you come to the range, and you actually get to ride brand new Yamaha motorcycles in a closed off-street environment with world-class instructors to get your motorcycle certification. Teen driving programs, advanced driving programs, winter driving programs, we have it all here. So if you're looking to give your teen more confidence behind the wheel as they head off to college or if they get ready to do their junior or senior year in high school, teen driving programs are something to consider. We also have dirt bike riding programs. So if you're looking for some off-road experience on a motorcycle, we can do that too. The sky is the limit at Road America, and we just encourage everybody to go to roadamerica.com if they're looking for something to do or build more confidence behind the handlebars or behind the wheel.
I love the sound of that. Road America's John Everett is with us. I'm looking forward to getting up there this year because I want to check out the grounds. Have always been beautiful, but you guys have made some improvements for 2024.
It's certainly called America's National Park of Speed for a reason because once you come through the gates, it's like you're in a national park. You can move around the facility. You're not dedicated to a seat. We have lots of wonderful viewing locations that we've added, such as the Bluffs over at Turn 11. A lot of people can't believe that you can actually sit at the beach and watch world-class racing. We have a beach here at Road America, complete with palm trees, beach chairs, and even a volleyball court. We also have wonderful wood carvings throughout the facility, so you can turn it into a scavenger hunt for the kids, go to each wood carving and try to figure out where it is. Download the Road America app to learn more about all of our events and figure out how to move around the facility. Plus, we have several trails involved where people can take golf carts and bikes and move around the facility, go from campsite to campsite. Plus, lots of golf cart-friendly locations where people can actually pull right up on their golf cart and get a wonderful overlook of some of their favorite turns and corners. So check out roadamerica.com, get your tickets, get your golf carts, get your campsites early because it could be a full weekend of family and friends. And very affordable as well because kids 16 and under get in free with a paying adult.
That part is remarkable. 16 and under, you get in for free. You get access to all the stuff we've been talking about. It's incredible. John's mentioned the website. I want to give it to you again. It's roadamerica.com. I was just on the website before this interview. Incredible stuff. Check it out, roadamerica.com. You can plan out your whole trip. John Effort, Communications Director at Elkhart Lakes Road America. Always great to catch up. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, John. Have a great day.
Coming up after the news, it's Brian and David Wickard. They're going to talk about the Consumer Price Index that was released this week and how it affects inflation on the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show. I'll be back at 11 on Conversations, and then it's Brewers Warm-Up at noon right here on WTMJ.